Today, we continue looking at the changing face of evangelical Christianity in America. We begin today's story talking about money. It's easy to conjure up the image of a televangelist dressed to the nines and flying around in a private jet to spread the good word. Earlier this year, this video made the rounds.
To those critics that say that a preacher should not be living a life of luxury, what is your response to that?
They're wrong.
That was reporter Lisa Guerrero from Inside Edition putting Pastor Kenneth Copeland on the spot. He owns at least three private jets. Copeland once said flying commercial is like getting into a long tube with a bunch of demons. Copeland isn't the only pastor who's been criticized for getting rich, but today we're going to hear about a church that's making a pretty radical shift away from what's been called the gospel of prosperity. The World's Matthew Bell and religion scholar Heather Melquist-Leto have the story.
Francis Chan is a well-known evangelical pastor from California. He says the problem with the prosperity preachers is that they miss something fundamental in the Bible. It's that Jesus warns against idolizing wealth, and that, like Jesus, faithful Christians may have lives that are full of suffering.
What's awful about the prosperity gospel is it's saying your life is going to be completely different. I promise you, it'll be completely different from what Christ went through. You're going to be healthy, you're going to be wealthy, the people are going to love you. And it really sets people up for failure in a lot of ways.
Chan wrote best-selling books, and he built a hugely successful megachurch. But at its height, he left to start something very different. It's called We Are Church. It's sort of the anti-prosperity gospel side of evangelical Christianity.
By the numbers, We Are Church isn't big. It's made up of about 20 house churches. Each one includes about 10 to 15 adults.
But even if those numbers don't sound impressive, We Are Church is well known. In fact, I first heard about it from Christians in South Korea while I was doing research there.
American church leaders are impressed, too. Christians from all over are traveling to San Francisco to learn more and to meet people like Kevin Kim. He's a founding member of We Are Church. Kim grew up in Virginia, and he says, of course, he went to church with his parents, who came to the U.S. from Korea. Today, almost two-thirds of Korean Americans go to church regularly, and often for more than just religious reasons.
If you're Korean and you come to the States, you have to join a church in order to survive, right?
Because it's sort of a social network.
A social network. Like, how do you figure stuff out? How do you find a good lawyer, mechanic? How do you try to understand where you're at? And how do you, you know, find friendships? You join the local Korean church.
After college, Kim went on to become a preacher at a mega church in Silicon Valley. But he left that job to help create We Are Church, whose leaders measure success very differently than many evangelical churches.
The traditional metrics of church success are buildings, butts, and bucks.
Butts in seats?
Butts in seats, and then bucks. So,
What's not impressive about that to you?
Well, there's no place in Scripture where God says, you know what I value? Here's what I value. I value, like, lots of property. Or I value, like, just sheer numbers.
We Are Church decided early on they wouldn't have buildings or paid clergy. Kim says they're focused on biblical values, not things like the size of the congregation they're growing.
In your group of 10,000 people, how well do they love one another? And how well do they love the world and their community? And how much do they pray? And how, like, do we even care about those metrics? Or are we just satisfied that we got, you know, 10,000 people? Because if that was it, if that's what God wanted, we just want 10,000 people, then, hey, you know what? I can do that. I can get Justin Bieber or Beyonce to open up, and I can get 10,000 people. That cannot be the metric.
So here's where the house church model comes in. The members of We Are Church gather in people's homes, where they hold religious services and Bible study. One of the intentions here is to bring people closer together, perhaps radically so. Kim says the group prides itself on building house churches whose members might be very different from each other. For example, one of the house churches is co-led by a former Mexican gang leader and a Silicon Valley web developer.
Your ability to be hospitable, your ability to be generous, your ability to love is something that can grow, right? And it grows better when those things are challenged in really diverse communities, you know, across gender experience, race, upbringing, values.
Kim says that this can make things more difficult. But that's the point. He says that people need to practice building relationships with people they may not even like. The idea is to prioritize diversity over catering to the personal interests of church members. That's another way We Are Church operates as a sort of critique of evangelical megachurches.
I don't know if you can get to this place of biblical love without the sanctifying process of being vulnerable and wronged and challenged. I don't think you can get there.
The intentions all sound well and good, but for some people, it's asking too much. For example, the role of women in leadership has been contentious. During a drive through the city, Kevin Kim explains that We Are Church does not allow women to become pastors or hold the title of elder. That's based on a conservative reading of Scripture that says men and women should have different roles.
Do you ever get arguments from your female leaders about this?
We have had people leave because of it.
Being in We Are Church, like any community, requires some compromise. Kim says this is a tough issue for him personally because he thinks there are good arguments based on the Bible, both for and against women serving as pastors. For some people, this view of gender roles is a deal breaker. But for others who might disagree, the issue isn't significant enough to drive them away from a church that they believe is otherwise living out Christian values, especially their uncompromising commitment to material generosity.
It's not just the unpaid pastors who practice austerity. Members are also asked to share resources more than at a typical church. In an expensive city like San Francisco, where people struggle to afford housing, church members might even open their homes to one another.
We're not this commune where, like, everybody lives together, but we are this community where, like, one of the practices is to share our possessions. And if, you know, we have a car that you need, or we have a place where you can stay and you need it, the expectation is that you would meet that need.
Kim says this frees up church money for more important things like overseas missions and local programs in San Francisco.
To show us a real-world example of what We Are Church is doing in the community, Kevin takes us to Huli Huli Hawaiian Restaurant. It was opened by the church in one of the rougher areas of San Francisco.
This is our restaurant right here. Don't leave anything in your car, in my car. You will get my windows broken and you'll have your stuff stolen. So we take everything out.
The look of the restaurant is simple. A few island decorations, the smell of Kalua pork, and there are no obvious signs that it's really a church ministry. Here's where we met Kevin Shedden, another church elder, who explained the real mission here.
Most of our employees here are coming in from difficult situations, so homelessness, addiction, jail, rehab, and they live in our men's and women's home. So that's the first layer. The second layer is that you won't see that we donate. We take some of the revenue that comes in, and we donate to a local nonprofit in the neighborhood. And then we also donate to a ministry in Ethiopia as well that are taking women out of the red light district and feeding kids that are literally a day from starving. So we send some of our revenue over there as well.
All that might be impossible if We Are Church had a church building to maintain and pastors on the payroll. So what does it mean to be an evangelical Christian today? We ask Shedden that question, and he says he doesn't get caught up in the label.
Broadly, if you were to look at what people think of when they hear of evangelical Christians, I think they would probably think of like white suburbia, Republican, George W. Bush, Donald Trump.
Pro-life. Against gay marriage.
Yeah, against gay marriage, all of those things. Some of it's true, but I think a lot of it too, like people aren't seeing like the love for the poor and the marginalized and the oppressed and Jesus's desire for justice.
Shedden says the idea that Christianity is about politics or power is off the mark. He hasn't bothered to vote in a presidential election since 2000, and he worries that many of his fellow evangelical Christians are getting distracted by politics.
They're looking to the Trump or the Obama or the Hillary as the savior. Jesus is the savior.
In presenting their dramatically different model of what an evangelical church looks like, We Are Church has earned a reputation for being a disruptor. It seems to have a lot of fans. Kevin Kim reminded us, though, that creating buzz is not the real goal.
It's not that we're like trying to intentionally pop the status quo for the sake of like being contrarian. Like, that's not the goal. The goal is the high fidelity to Scripture and taking what God says seriously about the church and not just paying lip service to it.
For Kevin Kim and We Are Church, that just doesn't include much political activism. In our story tomorrow, we'll hear from a Christian couple who are all about engaging with the politics of today.
Which is, I think, why Hood Politics is such a hit for our podcast, you know, where we break down politics, basically saying, like, if you understand gang life, you understand politics, because it's basically the same thing. It's just dudes, but they have fancier cars, fancier suits, and more money, but it's the same thing.
Prop and the Doc is what they call themselves. That story tomorrow. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.
And I'm Heather Melquist-Leto.
Our series is a collaboration with the Sacred Rights Project at Northeastern University, supported by the Henry Luce Foundation.